Happy Mother's Day. Just a quick reflection on Mother's Day for moms and really for everybody, because we have to respond to moms to really enter into the value that God has in mothers in our lives. In 1905, Anna Jarvis in West Virginia began this campaign to say we need a day, a Mother's Day, to honor moms. In 1908, she held a memorial service for her mom, and things became an official holiday then. When she was trying to convince people this was a good idea, here's what she wrote. She said, "I hope and pray that someone, sometime, will found a memorial Mother's Day commemorating her for the matchless service she renders to humanity in every field of life. She is entitled to it." Now, she was also careful as she watched things grow commercially to say what she did and didn't like about this day. She said, "A printed card means nothing except that you are too lazy to write to the woman who has done more for you than anyone in the world. And candy, you take a box to mother and then eat most of it yourself. A pretty sentiment." So I guess the point is, don't eat her candy, and we're all good at that point. That seems to work well. But we really need to hear from moms and to experience what moms give. When the Lord likens himself to a mother, he says it's for our protection and our nurturing and our feeding. When the Psalms celebrate the good things moms give to us, they call us to hold on to those things, to treasure those things, to kind of re-engage with them. Proverbs 6 says this, "My son, keep your father's commandment, forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you." There's an ongoing blessing to the legacy of what moms have done for us. So take those things, consider them. Take an inventory today. Actually sit and think that the mother in my life and the mothers who, like Paul will talk about to Timothy, are the older women in the church that we treat like mothers in our lives, gave us these things. Consider what they are. Reacquaint yourself with them. Thank the mother for those things. It may be in prayer. You may not be able to speak to her in this world anymore, but if you can, I'd encourage you to thank her specifically for these things that you treasure. I think it'll be a blessing to her. And honor her by employing those things every day, those things that she most valued and handed to you. Man, keep living those things. We just want to take a moment to pray for the moms in the church, recognizing that these are the people who have the most influence on the future of the church, the family, and the country. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful that you ordained us to be dependent from the time we are being conceived. We're grateful for your presence even in that place in a mother's womb. We're grateful for the hands of the moms who have built into the people here, Lord, who gave life, who protected, and who fed. Father, we recognize that we're indebted, and so we pray that you would help us to live honorably, that we wouldn't forget all the good things that mothers have built into us and just take the benefits today. Lord, help us to have a heart not just for a holiday, but for really having a holy view of moms and mothers. Bless those who serve in that work that does seem tireless and matchless. Give them strength, Lord. Give them reinvigoration that this is a ministry that they do, Lord. I pray, God, your blessing upon them as they raise godly men and women for our future, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we want to set aside time today to talk about the vision for Terra Nova Church. Whenever we talk about where we've been and where we're going, it feels a little bit like we're explorers with half a map, and we're trying to figure out which half we should really focus on, the things that we've sketched out and drawn and experienced, or the places where we're going. And the reality is, we need both. We grow in stages that require us to understand where we've been in order to keep moving forward. So a couple thoughts as we do that. I want you to think of what explorers go through when they determine there is something they see that isn't proven yet, and they desire to push forward, and how that moment of exploration makes for a commitment, everything they have and are, to jump into something that isn't yet. It's hard to imagine what isn't there being so seen by some people. When I was in school at the University of Wisconsin, go Badgers, there was a woman there who was doodling in class, and she was doodling these architecturally perfect buildings. And at some point, jealous of not being able to draw, I leaned over and said, "Tell me how you do that." Her response was, "I see it on the paper and I trace over it." No help whatsoever to me, but very insightful as to how these visionaries live and work. There was a time when exploration of terra nova, of fresh ground, was everything. We were just trying to figure out, would this idea actually have legs? What would it look like if we did church differently by keeping core the same, but saying that methods could change and places could change and the way things were done could change? That passed, and pioneers then follow explorers. Those trails that get blazed, there are people who say, we can risk some. We're not wanting to risk everything and going where no one's been before, but once that's there, we can engage. And if those pioneers begin to establish, those people who were part of those early days well, there are communities that begin to proliferate beyond even their control. Suddenly there are towns, and the rules change. It's no longer get out there and take risk. It's see these things grow and figure out how we develop them and what we need to do to bring order to these things. And the towns become cities and counties and countries, and we grow. But we need to be oriented looking back to where we came from. There are moments where we can leverage so much for the future that if we're not careful, we don't gain the power of the past. Think of like a swimmer doing laps. What's behind them is not what they're focused on, but when they finish that lap, they push off that wall that was the past. It was the place they were going to, and it gives them all the force to be able to continue in that direction in the future. Looking at our past is something like that in these moments where we set aside for vision. The things of the way past they're forgettable now. Whiteboards and post-it notes that were just ideas and words, and here's why. Because Terra Nova has become real with real people. The stories of this church are no longer the stories of an idea. It's the story of a community that's formed and founded and people who are serving every day to make that happen. It's a different story, but a very much a better story than an opportunity to have something real. And so we continue on our journey, always leaning towards the future. I think that's a bias we always want to keep. If you lean towards the future, you'll prevent your church from becoming something that's just precious in the past. That's a museum where you love things in the past and you protect them so people can see them and keep a safe distance and protect them. But if we want to keep being a church that's a movement, that's engaging, we have to lean towards the future. And it's okay. The day the future isn't there and we're wrong, nobody really owes anybody anything. The show is all over at that point. So we're going to continue to lean towards that future. Here's a good tool to analyze where you're at in life. It could be your family life, it could be work, and certainly for church. Just ask yourself now and again to orient yourself. If we had to keep one or two things that were really important and intentionally say, this is who we are, what are those things that we would keep and hold on to? If we had to remove something and say, this is actually keeping us from what's been going on in our mission and what we should be doing, what would be the thing that we remove? And maybe there's something to add. What would you add? Maybe it was a piece that was dreamed of once, but you didn't have the possibilities of having that come to fruition yet, so it's time to add that. Or something never before considered that just needed to come and be a part of this. What do you keep? What do you remove? What do you add? For Terra Nova, a big piece of what we keep are the things that have brought us to be able to do the mission of the church well. Every church, if it's being biblical, should have the same mission. It might have different styles of worship, meet in different places, have different ways of talking about things. But the purpose of Christ followers has always been to follow Christ yourself and to see other people become disciples of Jesus Christ, to make more and better disciples of Jesus. That's it. That's the mission. And for us, it started to work in a very lean way to say we're going to meet in small groups. We're going to have word and worship together where we know people. We're going to take care of those people, communicate with those people, build a community there, and from there we'll expand. That's how Terra started. It was small groups before it was anything else. For us to continue to do that well, and we have to keep training and engaging tribe leaders. One of the reasons I think that people have said we want to engage in small groups at Terra is, one, it's actually biblical to do Christian life in community, but two, it's done well because of the men and women who serve as tribe leaders. We just had a tribe leader training with multiple people from three different congregations, and it's easy to see that's the future. If we're going to keep growing, if disciples gather together in community, we have to have leaders for those communities for that to go well. When those disciples gather together in those communities called tribes or small groups, those small groups then congregate together and become a church, a local expression, an independent church. we've watched that happen. I mean, very honestly, I've gotten a lot of chances to speak at church planting conferences, to train church planters, to coach guys. This is not rocket science. I mean, this is pretty simple to say. Believers come to Christ. Believers get together in community to become and make more disciples. And communities, as they grow, form in churches. I mean, it's a little more complicated than that, but not much more complicated than that. That's the process that we've really focused on, and I think we need to continue to focus on. The largest change ahead for us, though, is actually going to be a pretty big change. It means in this journey that we have to do two things at the same time. We have to continue to engage where we are as we lean into the future. Sometimes in a journey, we can lose something that was really important to what was there at the beginning. You can find yourself in the midst of your work or studies and think, I came here out of passion. I was doing this because I was going to make a difference in the world, and now you're just having coffee to be able to greet that day, and you slide through, and somehow passion went away. It can be in a marriage, and years in, you're saying, man, we function, but intimacy and closeness seems to have slipped away. It can be a country that was founded on the idea of liberty, and somehow security becomes such an important pursuit that we lose those original things. Terra Nova began with a lot of things that would become repeated. They would become real maxims of ministry that you've probably heard in different contexts again and again. One of the things is, pastor your city, and your city will be your church. That we really wanted to say to the church, get outside the walls. This isn't all we are. We recognize it's minority living when you're a Christian in the Northeast, that the world is not full of them, that we're not the Bible Belt, that we're 1% evangelical in this county, about 4% in the state. We recognize that feels a little out there and frightening at time when 90-some percent of people don't agree with the things you believe. But we can't be the church that just hunkers in the bunker and waits for things to become easier, because that's just not going to happen. We have to be the church who gathers to be strong together, but then scatters to be light and salt in the community around us. When we began, our focus was very much on Troy. And without apology, a lot of things happened that didn't allow us to focus as much as we did. We had opportunities to grow, and we had to figure out how we move from this collection of pioneers to become a town and order ourselves. We had crisis that we had to overcome in our own community and figure out how do we go forward when we're really hurting at times. And we've seen a congregation birthed and one about to be born. And honestly, on Mother's Day, you know that takes energy, right? That first child that comes, you have a lot of surprise and a lot of time that's spent. This is not an invitation to tell birthing stories. This is just a way to circuitously mention this. And then that second child comes and the whole thing completely changes. Now it's like man to man is as good as it gets in the house, right? You got two parents, two kids, and you're just trying. Third comes, it all shifts completely. Now it's a zone, they have a fast break anytime they want it, and you just try to keep up and do what you need to be doing. Birthing these churches has meant that sometimes we didn't always have the focus on those first things that are really, truly important. Re-engage Troy is gonna be one of those phrases that you're gonna hear a lot in the year ahead. That if you're part of Terra Nova Troy, we want you to pastor your city and love your city. Now, that might mean for some of you that you live in Albany and figure out ways to serve there in your small group or in Schenectady and ways to serve there. But boy, we're going to get back to that root of focusing on re-engaging our city. You'll hear it from your tribe leaders. Pastor Bill Cuthbertson is working on connecting us to a whole bunch of different ministries. There's been fruit from it already as we've begun to engage. When we had a tournament in here to play a beanbag toss game called Cornhole and to sit and have pork sliders for 4 hours, ministry's really hard some days, we ended up raising $3,000 for the Boys and Girls Club of Troy. And now they've asked people at our church to be on the board of that institution so that we can have a seat at that table and continue to serve and shape Troy. We want to really engage because guess what? This is where God is working. He has told us we're supposed to be in our city, loving and serving our city. People are supposed to see how the Christian church treats each other and how it's an ambassador ministry to these cities. We meet God's power when we do this. We'll definitely be focusing on that in the time ahead. But there's one big change that's coming. As disciples come to Christ and gather in community and cluster into congregations, we end up expanding. We start new churches. Things are different than the world that we knew, and we become a family of churches. Big change this year. Terra Nova isn't just Troy and serving a congregation in Saratoga that we kind of live together in symbiosis with. We have a full-time lead pastor in Saratoga. We're about to send a lead planter to go plant with his family out in western New England, in the Berkshires. We're changing at this point, and that means we've moved from a single church and its ministry to a network, a family of churches. So there was one poem that was brought up to me in journalism school and in seminary, and I noted it because it was odd to have a crossover in those two worlds. Matter of fact, my family doctor said when I became a pastor after being a journalist, oh, you switch teams. So there wasn't always a lot of overlap in those two worlds. But this poem came up in both, and the professors who shared it both said this is going to be valuable in what you do if you're really analyzing and teaching things and sharing things. It's from Rudyard Kipling's In the Elephant's Child. He writes, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. So let's take those kinds of serving men and have them do some work on the Terra Nova Network, this family of churches, and ask some questions that I think people will have in common and see if we can answer some of those. When did this all happen? Might be a common question people would have. I thought we were just a church in Troy, and we talked about planting another church, but when did this whole idea of a Terra Nova Network become our new reality? Quite honestly, it's always been there. It was in the DNA of this church. When this church was born, it was focusing on how do we become a church that helps a church planting movement. There are a lot of people who are looking at the Northeast, and we'll call it what it is, America's mission field. And they'll pray for, how do we start a movement here? We want to be able to be a part of that. And we were always focused on that from the very beginning. It's kind of like saying, when did the great musician become a great musician? Was it when that life was formed in their mother's womb and they had perfect pitch built into them where they heard music differently than others and they made it differently than others? When did the great athlete become the great athlete? Wasn't it embedded in those genes to have those fast twitch muscles and that hand-eye coordination? And I'm not trying to brag on myself here. I'm just saying great athletes have those things. Embedded in Terra Nova Church from the time we planted was we really are going to serve the greater Sea Church and the mission of the Northeast by planting churches that plant churches. It was part of a napkin sketch before we were anything, before we were people with moleskins and laptops. And I was trying to communicate to a church out in Troy, Michigan, what we were doing. They said, please share this vision. And I took a Sharpie and was drawing on a napkin these little sketches of churches around the Capital District of the North, South, East, and West, and how this cluster of four churches could really work with an area of about 1 million people in the Capital District and could serve well in working independently as churches and interdependently as a family of healthy churches serving the same mission together. Apparently, I'm a really good artist because the guy gave support for this church of $60,000. I like to think I sold a sketch for $60,000, but that's just me. The idea has always been there. It's something that we've said from the beginning. So how do we relate as a network? If now the churches are independent churches, and you've heard that word multiple times, that these churches are truly independent churches with lead pastors, their own elders, their own locations, how do we work together then? Three areas. We share together, we serve from the center outwardly, and we send churches to new places. There are things we share. There are things like our core values, our identity, the mission of the church. There are things we share, like what sermons we're preaching. And we'll share notes for tribe leaders out of that, for worship leaders. We'll share the graphics that people put together out of that. We're trying to take the things that we can do better together and not have them reproduced at every local church. We don't need to have a graphic team at every church. We want to be able to take the message that we're hearing, the word of God working through the Spirit of God in our communities, and have those preached at every church together. So even if you're not at that church, you know exactly what they're going through at that time. We also want to empower the local church to do the stuff it does, to be ingenious in its missions, in its ministries, and to be able to say when something's going really well for a church, let's figure out how we take the principles of that and share that with the other congregations. Let's celebrate the good things. Let's communicate across those boundaries and share those pieces. There was a time before the Civil War when it was proper grammar to say, the United States are a nice place to visit, where there was a federal hub that kind of moved together for national defense and for some interstate commerce, but really it was the states. After the Civil War, it became correct to say, the United States is. This family is like that. There are independent churches that work interdependently, and that center is what serves the resources out. There has to be coordination on how we communicate things together, how we're communicating and functioning retreats together, how we're putting together the sermon calendars, working with pastors who are preaching those and sermon syncing them in groups. We want to make sure that we're serving that center well, but always understand it's the local church that's the most important piece. And then finally, sending. We want to be able to take the resources that we have, continue to put aside 10%, and be able to plant more and better churches to make more and better disciples. The great example of that are the Gordon family, who are going to be leading people from this congregation on behalf of the Terra Nova church family to start a Terra Nova church that Paul will be the lead pastor of in the Berkshires. That will be supported and sent by multiple groups, but in part by the people who are at this church giving to that particular cause and to generally the fund. Who are the leaders of this family of churches? Right now, we're a church that would say our church government, the way we run things, is called a localized Presbyterian government. Presbyterian means rule by the elders, right? When you need glasses, when you're older, the eye doctor will say, you have presbyopia, you have elder eyes. For some of you, that'll be the part that you can celebrate. You qualify for elderhood somewhere. For others, we recognize the elders serving is just one form of church government. Now, what happens is when elders are serving local churches and work together with other churches, there's some layer of governance representing each of those churches. For the Presbyterians, it'll be called a classis or a presbytery, and there'll be this other level that tries to help on these matters that are serving outwardly the churches. There'll be a pastor from each congregation who will represent and serve at that level. Now, remember, this is a minimally functioning hub. The local churches are the independent places where ministry is being done. The hub just serves from the local church to be able to have those things work well. The leaders will be pastors who are from those local churches. Why do this may be the question that some have. Well, we have to be careful when we're asking that, because sometimes embedded in the question, why do this means, why are we changing? I like things the way they were. I understood what we had. Having changed messes this up a little bit. We have to be careful that we don't end up with a sentimentality that would quite literally say, to hell with everybody else. We aren't going to be obedient in expanding the kingdom and sharing the gospel because we're really comfortable and like what we've had in the past. The power and presence of God is always with the plan of God and the person of God, and he's always working for his future timeline. We want to be in his way as we continue to move forward. So really the why we do this is to answer his call. He's continually calling us to be those who will serve this world in his name, that we're continually called to this great command, great commission of making more and better disciples. We need leaders to be able to do this. If we're going to keep producing multiple congregations and those congregations are going to work together, we need people who are going to be investing in leadership positions in this. It's worked pretty well for us so far in what we've done. Some things that I think we would keep and continue to use would be things like internship, where we've said to guys who are young and possibly thinking about ministry, come embed yourself in a different way in the church. We're going to make sure we show you things about how church works and make sure you get a good look at all these things that could be what you're doing someday. We allow them to observe the way the church functions. We ask them to serve the church, and we invest in them in hoping some of these men will say, we're going to move towards being pastors one day. Daniel Williams was an intern. Sean Nolan, pastors in Maryland was an intern. Taylor Philippi was an intern. Blake and Grady are serving. We've done a good job of this as a community. We also, about 3 years ago, introduced leadership and worship collectives, where we said we're going to be asking people who we think are key leaders in ministries and potentially serving more to take time off from those ministries to be built into intentionally to go back into ministry. Boy, we've seen people who are now coaching tribes, leading men ministry, leading worship, come out of those efforts of intentional training and setting aside of leaders. No matter what your church government, the Bible's really clear. You're supposed to take those people who are faithful, available, teachable, and build into those leaders and turn them out for ministry. For us to see local churches started, we need to be very intentional about doing that for pastors and planters. That means we're going to be starting a Terra Nova residency, where the goal is we embed a person or people out of seminary into Terra Nova Church to help train them to plant. If they've been to seminary, they probably could pass the test that most church denominations or local churches would throw at them and say, you're ready to do this. They could say the theology, they could give a plan, and give all the right answers. But multiple seminarians that I've talked to, and it was my own experience, would say, I'm not sure I was quite ready. I knew the stuff, but I'd become somewhat distant from the local church. I'd become distant from the Northeast when I was down in places like Dallas or Louisville studying, and you're not back here. One of my mentors in seminary said, figure it's going to take that guy a year out of seminary for every year in seminary to get his heart and mind back to the local church. We want that to happen, and we want that to happen in a way that continues to build the health of these leaders. Four principles that we're going to have as part of this residency. Body-minded. We've always talked about the capital C church, the big C church, that we recognize we're a component of a greater whole. We're going to be partnering with different denominations and leaders in training who will help us with this residency. It'll be local church-based. We really believe God's plan is the local church. I had a good experience at seminary, but I don't believe seminary is the necessary key to educating pastors. I actually believe the church is the necessary key, and the seminary serves the church, and as long as it does that, great, but there's always things the church needs to have built in there. So we want to train pastors in a local church. We want to be future biased. We want to be investing in these pastors of the future and unapologetically focused on the Northeast. We're different. We're a place that once had something great in terms of Christianity and now has great needs in terms of the gospel. You can look through the studies and you can find again and again, Albany, Schenectady, Troy, down at the bottom of lists of where are the most biblically literate cities, where are the most unchurched people, they become at the top of the list. It's Northeast cities with Albany, Schenectady, Troy often leading the way in that area. To be able to do this well, we need to have those residents become part of Terra and be able to send some out, as well as populate the network that we'll be working with. There's a piece of Vision Sundays that are a little bit hard. We're trained on how vision presentations look often by the way that business leaders or politicians do them. And I get it. There's something good about that that shows they know what they're talking about. Their strategies are laid out. They understand the finances for it. And then they'll work very hard to make whatever they said happen. That's where the church takes a divergent path, that we have to be men and women of faith, that we're not leading, we're following. And there are moments where, though we've spent time praying, consulting, reading scripture, coming back and modifying our plans to say we really believe to the best of our abilities we've worked with the Spirit of God in these plans, God might have another path for us. And we always have to clothe ourselves with the humility of saying, this is our vision that we put before him, and it's his mission to shepherd us through. There's a submission to all we do that calls us forward to lean forward to the future, but also get down on our knees and pray, God, give us a future. Help us really to be able to do this in a way that we still love what you're doing in the church, and others will see this and be attracted to this different way that we live. But that calls for humility. It doesn't always have neat promise and answers. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. That illustration about the woman who was tracing over the drawings, just take that and know that the Lord's the artist. We're just the pencil in this. We want to be able to be faithful to him in the places that we discover where we're going that are going to be changes in what we're doing. We want to be good instruments. There's an important church meeting coming up next week, and I just want you all to hear it and understand that if you're a regular tender who's involved at Terra, certainly members are asked to all come. Please come out to this. This is going to be a town hall meeting where we've done this in the past. You can ask questions until you're tired of asking questions, and we will do our very best to answer them all. We want to move forward together, and we want people to know what's going on and be engaged in what's going on. This isn't an idea anymore. This is our church. Let me pray for us as Pastor Paul Gordon comes up, and we're going to talk further about some of the more detailed pieces that are coming with this ministry change. Gracious Father in heaven. For all the ways that you have provided for us in the past. You're a faithful God. We say that, we know that, and we worship you partly because of that. Lord, we ask that you would help us to continually experience what it is to rely on you as we're being faithful to what you provide. Would you please make Jesus known in our homes, in the church, and in this city? It's in his name that we pray.
How's that? Ah, there we go. I didn't realize the uniform for speaking today was blue jeans, a white dress shirt, and a tie, but apparently it and rolled up sleeves too, so that all worked out great. In seasons like this where we take a day and we just pause to talk about where we think God is leading us, and that there's these moments of so much is changing, and yet there's also these moments where really so much is staying the same. It's important for us to try to communicate these things clearly, because the life of the church is more than just a corporation. We're actually a community that is sharing a cause that we're on together. And a big piece of that in our culture today is websites as to how we communicate. So you may be aware of this, you may not, but we've been spending a lot of time and resources over the past few months on building a brand new website, which I think communicates much more clearly, much more cleanly, how we actually live and where we're heading. Honestly, our old website was very Troy-centric. It was who we were 3 and 4 years ago. But as we've grown, we've really needed to change the way we've communicated who we are publicly. And I want to just pause here and say something. There's a company that you guys probably are familiar with. It's called Iron to Iron. They actually have office space in our office space at 409. The two guys who run that company are Kevin Richardson and John Christopher, both who attend here on Sunday with us. And I want to just, they've done a ton of work that, I mean, they're just good at what they do. And Iron to Iron, I want to just call out three things. I'm really encouraged by this company. One, the name, Iron to Iron. If you're familiar, that's Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron. And I know that they take that into their business world. They pray together. They are actually friends who sharpen one another. Here's another thing I want to just call about this company. A part of our heart at Terra has always been not just how we plant churches, but how do we actually help in the cities that we're in plant for the future of those cities? And so part of our heart all along has been, we can open up our office space for business incubators. Is there a small business trying to get off the ground that needs space? Come on into the church walls, set up your business and do your work. And that's Iron to Iron. I think 4 years ago, 5 years ago, somewhere in there, they were getting their business off the ground. So we said, hey, we have some office space. Come on in. You can use this to get going. And that's our heart. We love to do that in the cities that we're in. And I know John and Kevin are faithful, even in their business meetings. When people are at, they're using our gallery for a meeting with a prospective client, they're like, what is this space you're in? And they're faithful to say, well, this is a church. We go to this church. We believe in Jesus. And it's just awesome to see that happening within the walls of the church. It's been something that we're really grateful for and love to see happen. The third thing, and this is a little bit more abstract, and I don't know if this is intentional for them or not, but I think they reflect some of the beauty of our Lord. And sometimes we talk about how our Lord is both the greatest engineer and the greatest artist. And that's really the pairing of that company, is that they make websites really beautiful and they make them run really well. They're good engineers and they're good artists in their business. So I'm really grateful for them. I think it'd be great if you guys also just said, hey, thanks for the work that you do for Terra, in which in this season was a brand new website that took a lot of work and thinking and dreaming. Plenty of coffee was drank over the last 2 months to get this, and hot cocoa. Yes, that's right. I'll let you figure out who likes the hot cocoa. I think we've got him to the point where now he can have a mocha, which is really coffee-flavored chocolate. But, you know, anyway. Today what we wanted to do, I got off on that one, sorry. Today what we wanted to do is actually orient you a little bit to the new website so that you can see what's in here. And part of this is important because we actually think this is in prep for next week's town hall meeting, because a lot of the stuff that Ed just walked through, we've actually put onto the website. A lot of the future, a lot of the things that we're just holding on to because it's good biblically grounded stuff that we define our community by, it's all on the website. So I would really encourage you, before you come back next Sunday for the town hall meeting, spend some time exploring through this website and all the different things that it has. If you have questions, you can email those in ahead of time to troyquestions@terranovachurch.org, or you can come next Sunday with those. But I actually do want to walk you through. I have a little, this is awesome. My wife's going to take this away from me promptly after the service. I can guarantee you that. My kids and I were playing with it last night, and that was fun. So this is actually the brand new website, terranovachurch.org. This is what the new homepage will look like. I think it actually just right out front communicates much more clearly who we are, a family of churches working together to make more and better disciples of Jesus Christ. And so you have that statement right at the front. The three churches are right there in the diamonds. And then right below that down here is actually just a bunch of resources that you might want to explore, like sermons and music and videos, how to read the Bible, Lectio Coram Deo. It's all right there, easily accessible from the webpage. This little thing up here in the corner, I'm going to drop some knowledge on you right here. That's called a hamburger menu. I learned that in the last couple of months, thanks to John and Kev. You like that, don't you? It's a hamburger because it's three little... Okay. So if you were to click that hamburger menu, you can go to the next slide. You would get this drop-down window for the network. And here is what, when Ed's walking through how the network works and functions, you're going to start to see. All of the beliefs and values of who a Terra Nova church is and how they live sits right there. That's common for all the churches, so it's at the network level. All of the resources, sermons, music, videos, all housed at the network. A blog that is now going to be having a weekly blog post every Monday morning on different matters of what it means to be a mystic, chasing after God, what it means to be a pilgrim, responding to that, and how we live in the culture that we live in. So what that means to be a missionary. A weekly blog here every week. Our primary writer for that is going to be Pastor Ed, who's just a gifted writer. Our leadership development stuff that Ed just kind of even mentioned quickly, the collectives, the residency, the internship, all of this will be housed at the network website, and I would encourage you guys to spend some time there. If you go back a slide, or actually go forward, and this is back to the homepage. So really within this website, there's four websites. There's a website for the network, there's a Troy website, a Saratoga website, and then one for the Berkshires as well. So if you were to click any one of these three, or up here, you would get to the individual churches as well. So we're just going to pretend we click that, and you go to the next slide. This is now Terra Nova Church, Troy. This is their new homepage. And this is where, for a lot of you, a lot of information will be here at the Troy Church. This little thing, which is hard to see because the projector doesn't pick up a lot of the good contrast that's built into this site, but there's a little video back here where you can experience Troy, and that's actually 3 minutes, not 2 minutes. And it's just like what a Sunday experience at Terra Nova might be. It's really good for visitors and people who might be checking out. Again, you can get to our sermons. This is a feature I'll talk about in a minute. But there's a news and events post here where we're going to be communicating a lot of the activities and just stuff that we want to share announcement-wise right on our homepage. We'll be using that a lot more going forward. I think if you go to the next slide, this is actually just below what you saw. At Troy, and this is some of the, just the different ministries that you can get to quickly with neat little icons that Kevin designed for us, like tribes and kids and youth, Imago and Poema and serving, just quick links into different pieces of the ministry in the life of Terra. Again, I would encourage you guys to check this out as well. We're running really quickly, but there's a lot of good information on these pages. If you go to the next slide, this would be where you would get if you click that news and event page on the homepage where we'll be putting in a lot of events, stuff like the town hall gathering, stuff like Nucleus class, stuff like the Dave Ramsey classes, or anything else that might be going on in the life of the church. We'll be using the website to announce those, where you can get information, you can RSVP right there, and then just new stuff that we might be making as announcements will be here as well. So this is a good page that you probably want to be checking out on a regular basis just to keep up with what's going on. I'm not sure, what's the next slide? Oh, just another opportunity for me to say come back next week and come to that town hall gathering, 1 o'clock in our children's and office space down in 409 River Street. Again, about 2 hours. There'll be light food and refreshments. There won't be any childcare, but all the kids' classrooms will be open for parents to use if you need to. This is a really important meeting, as you heard even Pastor Ed say, because there's just, we can only say so much in 30 minutes, and you probably have a lot of questions we would love to answer or even be able to share in more detail. Head to the next slide. I think this is just back to the homepage, because I wanted to share a couple things. Why do we put so much time and investment into a new website for a church? And I think there's a couple reasons. I think it does communicate better and more broadly about what it is, who we are as a church. Now, Nicole and I took our 10-year anniversary last year. And as part of that, we went out to California, Northern California, and we were just looking for places to visit and places to stay. And so where did we go? We went to the web. And we started exploring all these different places to eat and to stay. And sometimes we'd get to a website and we'd be like, nope, let's go on to the next hotel. It's just the way that we live in this culture. when we're checking something out and when we're visiting things, we go to the web and we look. If you go into a new restaurant and you want to check out the menu, you go to the website. So it's important for us not to just be blind to that and to just actually have a good website done well that communicates who we are and how we live. Now, in closing, I want to say three things. I want to give us a caution here. I want to share a reminder, and I want to give us a piece of encouragement when we're talking about something like a website. Here's the caution. We don't live here, right? We live here. We live in our tribes. We live on Sunday together. This is a good tool for us to be able to talk about how we live, but we don't live in virtual land. Like so we do put a lot of resources here, and that's good and important, but this isn't actually where we live and make disciples and like that happens in real life. So let's not be people who just live in virtual internet-based land. This is a good, important tool, but it's not our life. That's a good thing for us to remember that conversations here, meeting new people, getting in tribes, doing life authentically is more important than a good website at the end of the day. Here's a reminder. This is something, these next two things were things that kind of struck me over the last few months as we were putting so much work into this. The reminder is, one of the phrases you've heard us say a lot over the last 10 years, it's not a core value, but it's just part of our DNA, and we say we want to do church in a way that's narrow and deep. That didn't spill. Meaning we didn't want a ton of stuff on the church calendar that just bombards your schedule and doesn't actually allow you to get out and live in community with the world around us. And so it was a good exercise for us to say, how do we take the whole of the church and put it into a website? And that's actually helpful for us and realize, are we actually living that out? Are we actually narrow and deep in what we're trying to do? And that was a helpful exercise for us just as a tool to analyze. Here's the encouragement that I think I came to as doing this as well. As a guy who is heading out to plant a new Terra Nova church with my wife and my family, to go over and do that work of planting a church, it was a really good encouragement to go back through the core of who Terra is. And to, I work here, so much of this I live in it, but reading it again, typing it out, honing it down was actually really helpful, even just for me, because I'm going to have to be sharing these things and talking about these things freshly and newly as we plant another church. And it was really encouraging. For me to be able to do that through the exercise of writing a new website or putting all that content in. As the band comes back up and they're going to continue on in worship, here's what a piece of that big encouragement was for me as we looked towards the future with this website. Yeah, a lot of things are changing. But there's also a really big piece of who we are that's not changing one iota. And that is we're Christocentric. We center ourselves on Christ. That everything we do is about him, the living word. We worship to exalt him. We gather to worship him. We gather to celebrate his work in our lives. And we ground ourselves in the Bible. We say that a lot too, that we're grounded in the word of God and we try to stay in step with the Spirit. So we ground ourselves in the word of God. And that's even the song that I think you're going to sing next, right? How Firm a Foundation? It's just a reminder, even though a lot of this stuff is changing and there's a future that we're following Jesus into, we have a firm foundation. And that is the person and the work of Jesus Christ as it's revealed to us in the Word. So we're going to celebrate that, even just in the midst of all this, and then Rob and the band are going to continue to lead us on into communion, which is another way that we celebrate and focus in on Christ week in and week out.